was really just a young girl, probably in her mid to early teens, when she received word that she was going to become the mother of Jesus Christ. Now, that's amazing to me that God would choose someone that young and that inexperienced in life to carry His Son and to bear the Savior of the world in her body. That's just amazing to me. But there's a story in Luke chapter 1 that we're all probably familiar with about the Annunciation. It's called the Annunciation. It's the announcement that the angel came and gave to Mary. So let's read that together this morning, shall we? Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. It says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David." Now, right here in the beginning, Luke gives us a lot of information that may not make a lot of sense to us, but it made a lot of sense to the Jewish people that were reading this. And it says a couple of things. First of all, it says that she's a virgin. We'll talk about that a little bit more in just a moment. But she had never known a man. She had never been with a man. That's number one. And number two is that Joseph was a descendant of the King David. It's coming down the Davidic line. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think about what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God." Favor is mentioned twice there. I want you to notice that. "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this happen? I'm a virgin." And the angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but now she's in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Mary is an extraordinary person. She is dedicated to God. She's pursuing God's will for her life. She's believing God. All of this incredible stuff comes to Mary at such a young age, and she decides that she is just going to believe God. There are some fantastic things in here. First of all, the doctrine of the virgin birth is a cornerstone of who Jesus is. We're not going to talk about that very much tonight. I did that a few years ago. But maybe it's in our MP3 files on our website. But the virgin birth of Jesus Christ is very important to the doctrine of the divinity of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God become flesh for you and I. He's more than a great prophet. He's more than a good man. He's more than a great teacher. He is God come in the flesh. That is the very essence of who Jesus is. And here at the very beginning of his life, it's made very clear that his Father is the Heavenly Father. The Holy Spirit comes and makes her pregnant, and so that she has the Son of God. He's going to be great, and he's going to be a great man of God. There are some things in this story this morning that are important for you and I to grab a hold of also. And I want to suggest three things that Mary's life can have an effect in our life and can make a difference in the way that we live. And the first thing is, God had a plan for her life. His plan for her life was tremendous, was unbelievable. It was probably the greatest plan that any human being ever had, and that was to give birth to the Savior, to the Son of God. She was going to bear the Messiah in her body and take care of him and raise him up. And just what a tremendous blessing and burden that would become. And make no mistake about it, that was a burden for her also. But God has a plan for our life, and He uses people to accomplish it. He uses people like you and I to accomplish His will. Now, there's no more need for the birth of a Savior, so that's kind of taken off the table. You know, God isn't going to do that again. It's done once and for all in Jesus Christ. But God has a purpose in our lives, and He wants us to find that purpose and put it into practice. In Matthew chapter 28, He says this, Jesus came to His disciples and said, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Jesus called His disciples to go out and change the world through the power of the Holy Spirit by the gifts and the talents that He had given them. Everybody in this room this morning has a gift, has a talent, an ability that God has given you, and He wants you to use that for the kingdom of God. We've got all kinds of talents and abilities being used here at the church. We've got nursery workers, people that are good at working with children, love to be with them, and they're working in the nursery. I would not make a good nursery worker. I'm exercising my gift right here and right now. Keep me out of the nursery. I've got a grandson and two granddaughters. And I've changed their diapers maybe once or twice, and it was an ordeal, you know, during that time. And, you know, that's just not my thing. It's not my gift. It's not my ability. And so I'll let somebody else that has that gift and that ability do that. Maybe you have an ability to teach. Maybe you have an ability to be hospitable to people. Maybe you have the ability to pray for the sick and see them healed. Whatever it is, God has given you a gift. He's given you an ability that He wants you to use for His glory. Mary gave all of her heart to God, and He used her to the best of her abilities. So what she was able to do, she was the mother of Jesus Christ. I want you to understand, God has a plan for every single life that's here today. He has a plan for you. He has something that He wants you to accomplish for His glory, for His kingdom, and He wants you to do that in His name. So number one, God has a plan for everyone, and He wants you to accomplish it. Secondly, we see that God uses receptive people. People that are receptive to the Word of God. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't have doubts, that we don't have fears, that we don't have questions. How many of you, don't raise your hands, okay? How many of you have ever wondered if God knew what He was doing? Heresy. But I think we've all felt that way sometimes when we've gone through difficult times, when we've gone through pain and struggling, when we've seen things happen in our lives that we don't understand. All of us have had those moments and those times when we look up to the heavens and we say, Lord, what are You doing? What's going on? How can anything good come out of this? Mary had questions about it. She said, how can this happen? I'm a virgin. I don't have the ability to conceive a child. Nothing's happened there. And yet she asked that question, and the angel answered her. God is not stymied by our questions. Sometimes I think we think that God doesn't have answers for our questions, so we don't ask them. But God is not stymied by our questions. God is not blown away by the fact that we have doubts and fears. If you have questions about that, you can talk to me. You can talk to one of the other pastors. If you're going through something that's difficult, now we may be just as stymied as you are, but our faith can blend with your faith, and we can come together as one and pray for each other and lift each other up during those times also. God isn't stymied by our questions, but there is a point of surrender that has to come when we don't understand God's will and sovereignty. There is a point of faith that followers of Christ have where we say, along with Jesus Christ, Father, take this cup away from me, but Your will be done. You have Your will be done, God. Whatever it is, I want Your will to be done. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend upon your own understanding. Seek His will in all that you do, and He will show you which path to take. God is not a silent God. I'm getting into the point of life where I'm asking God more and more questions, more and more situations that I ask Him about. Where do You want me to go? What do You want me to do, Father? Where are You leading me today? And God is opening those doors and showing me those things. But we need to seek His will with all of our heart, with all of our life. The Bible tells us that we need to do that. In Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, God says this. Listen to what he says to the prophet Isaiah, to the nation of Israel. He says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts," the Lord said. "My ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." You may have questions about God, but I want you to understand there's a point where faith has to take over, and you just have to trust God is doing what He's doing and doing it for our good and for our benefit, and we trust God and we move ahead in His Word and in His faith. There are some things that we're not going to figure out this side of heaven. There are just some things that we're not going to figure out on this side of heaven. But if we trust God, He will lead us through that, because His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You know, when I was a kid, a little kid, and sometimes even a bigger kid, I couldn't understand why my parents did some of the things they did. Anybody else experience that? "Mom and Dad, if you would just do it my way, it'd go so much smoother and so much better," I said in my adolescence, and thinking that now that I'm a parent, now that I'm a husband, now that I'm a grandfather, I have a little better understanding of some of the things that my parents did. And, you know, because why was that? Because their thoughts were higher than my thoughts. They had experiences, they had situations, they had life that they had gone through that taught them lessons, so they knew how to react in specific situations. I was young, I was inexperienced, I didn't know that. We need to think in terms of that with God and I, you know, with God and us, that we don't know all of the things that are going on. God sees the huge picture. He sees everything. He understands the butterfly effect that says if a butterfly in Mexico flaps its wings, it sets off a chain of events that can affect things around the world. God sees the big picture. He sees what everything, how everything fits together and our place in it. We don't always see that, but God does. Mary understood that somehow in her young mind. She understood that she just needed to submit herself to the will of God. She was receptive to God's will for her life. You know, in other parts of the Bible, you see Moses. You see Moses in the Old Testament arguing with God about His will for his life. He says, "I can't speak, I can't talk, I don't think well," you know, all of these kinds of things. And God says, "Listen, haven't I called you?" Gets a little stern with him. Sometimes God may have to get a little stern with us and tell us, "Listen, this is my will for your life, go for it, trust me, I want the best for you." And God is looking for receptive people that are willing to do what He wants them to do. And then the third thing that Mary shows us is that He's looking for servant hearts. The very last thing that Mary says is, "I am the Lord's servant." That just seemed to settle it all for her. The angel calls her most favored. "You are most favored of God." It says in Psalm 23, verse 5, it says, "You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings." We are favored by God today. I saw this viral video on the internet not too long ago. It was put out by a church. I didn't catch the name of the church. But the guy wakes up in the morning, and it shows him as he's waking up out of bed, and he's wrapped all in gift wrapping. And he takes it off, and he realizes that his life is a gift from God. He rolls over, and his wife is wrapped in gift wrapping next to him. And he tears off the covering of her face, and she smiles at him. And he sees that his wife is a gift from God. And then there's a knock on the door, and his three kids come in, all wrapped up in gift wrapping. And he realizes that his blessings are, you know, everything he touches that morning. He puts toast in the toaster, and the toaster is wrapped up in gift wrapping. Everything that he has, he flips the thermostat up and heat comes on and his furnace is wrapped in gift wrapping. We are blessed by God today. If you're here this morning, there's two ways to look at life. You can look at what you don't have, or you can look what you do have. You can look at how you're blessed, or you can look at what you're lacking. And I'll tell you what, it makes all the difference in the world if you decide that you're going to look at life as a blessing and look at the good things that God has done. You are favored by God. If you belong to Him today, if you've given your life and your heart to Him, we have God's blessing upon us. Psalm 30, verse 5, His anger only lasts for a moment, but His favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. God tells us that we are favored in Him, and every breath we take is a gift from Him. Every heartbeat is a gift from Him. We're blessed people. Even if we didn't get another Christmas present in our life, kids, plug your ears. Even if we didn't get another Christmas present in our life, we are still blessed beyond anything that we can imagine. The angel calls Mary favored. Mary calls herself the servant of the Lord. I think there's a beautiful balance here, how God sees us and how we should see ourselves. We are favored, yes, but that's not by anything that we have done. The favor from God is not earned by us. We haven't been good enough to get it. Not one of us. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard. All of us have lost God's blessing in our life because of sin. But He favors us anyway when we come to Him through Jesus Christ. He gives us His blessing. And then the real temptation then is to think that somehow we've earned that, that we're doing God a favor by receiving His blessings. When in reality, the way we see ourselves in the favor of God is as His servant. Mary says, I am His servant. Psalm 34:22 says, but the Lord will redeem those who serve Him. The Lord will redeem those who serve Him. No one who takes refuge in Him will ever be condemned. Exodus 23:25, it says, God is speaking to Moses, and He says, you must serve the Lord your God. If you do, I will bless you with food and water, and I will protect you from illness. God is looking for a servant's heart. He's looking for people that serve each other. Can I tell you something about the staff here at North Point? We've got talented staff. We've got pastors on staff here that are just wonderful people. But the number one thing that I looked for when we brought staff on was a servant's heart. Now, I don't mean to say they're not talented, okay? But I didn't look for talent first. We were blessed in that we have talented people with servants' hearts. But I looked for a servant heart above and beyond anything else. And you've got a staff in this church that are servants of Jesus Christ and servants of you. And we are blessed to have them. And especially at this Christmas season, we need to thank God for them. But the servant heart is what God is looking for. The way up is down. That's the way it goes in the kingdom of God. It says in 1 Peter 5:6, so humble yourself under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, He will lift you up in honor. Humble yourselves before God. Don't think too highly of yourself. Mary was amazed that she was chosen. She would have ruined it all if she said, well, I guess I deserve this honor. She would have ruined it all if she just simply thought, well, I've been working hard towards this and finally it's paying off. God, do you know that I've done for all that I've done for you? You know the things that I've accomplished in my short life? No, she was a servant before God. Humble yourself before the Lord, and in due time, He will lift you up. God is looking for a servant's heart this morning. Look around you. Look around the people around you and ask yourself, how can I serve my brother today? What do they need that I can provide in their lives? How can I become a servant to them? You see, the world says, look for people that can serve you. But the kingdom of God says, look to be a servant. So there's some things I want you to consider as we close this message this morning. There's some things that I want you to consider about this holiday season. Number one, I want you in 2018 to discover and pursue God's plan for your life. If you don't really understand that God has a plan for you, that's the first step, is to understand God has a purpose and a plan for you right where you are right now to be part of the body of Christ and to bring glory to God. How are you bringing glory to God? That might be kind of the base question of the whole thing. How am I bringing God glory in my life? There's an old song that says, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? How many remember that song? All the older folks here remember that song, I guess. But there's that old song that says, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? And that's a good question to ask yourself. Would anybody even know that you're a follower of Jesus Christ? Now, it's okay to be good. I want you to be good. I want you to do good things. But people need to know the reason why you're doing those things. You need to reflect Jesus Christ in your life. You need to be talking about Him. You need to give Him praise. You need, I'm going to get back on my horse here and tell you the five words that are easy to witness to people too about the power of Christ when they share with you, can I pray for you? That's going to be on my gravestone, I think. Can I pray for you? If you want to bring glory to Christ, that's associated with God right away. It's associated with Jesus Christ. And people have needs and situations in their life. They're just sharing with you. But suddenly faith comes into the picture. Action comes into the picture. You're not just listening anymore, but you're entering into their suffering. You're entering into their situation by simply asking the question, can I pray for you? It's easy as pie. What do I do if they say no? Don't pray for them then. Now you can later on when they're not around, you know. But don't just say okay. But you will be amazed at how many people will say yes. I would like that. I would like you to pray for me. And then just take their hand, put a hand on their shoulder, very quietly, very reverently, just pray for them. It doesn't have to be long and eloquent. It can just be, God, bless my friend, in Jesus' name, amen. It can be something like that, and it will be effective in their life. They will never forget that moment. Can I pray for you? Okay, rant over. But discover and pursue God's plan for your life. Number two. Learn to discern God's voice and receive it willingly. Learn to discern God's voice and pursue it and receive it willingly. I want you to get into the Word this year. We say this every year, but I want you to do it this year. I want you to make the Bible your friend. I want you to get into the Scripture. How do you know if it's God's voice? You got to know God's Word. If you don't know God's voice, it's probably because you're not in the Word very much and you're not discerning His Spirit because the Word is God's voice in your life. You need to be in the Word every day. I'm closing in on finishing reading the Bible through again. I think I just started the book of Revelation this week. And it'll be, I don't know how many times I've read through the Bible, but every time I read Scripture, something new jumps out at me. Every time I read Scripture, something happens in me, and I feel closer to God, and you know, it's just amazing what God does. But learn to discern God's voice and receive it willingly. Sometimes that voice that you think is God is just the pepperoni pizza you had last night. But if you know God's Word, you're able to discern that and tell the difference between the two. And then work at being a servant's heart, at having a servant's heart. Work at developing a servant's heart. Work at developing your servant attitude towards others. How can I help you? After you pray for them, ask that question. How can I help you? How can I be of service to you today? You know, there's a Chick-fil-A coming into Holland. You know that, right? It's going to be, you probably already know where it is if you're any kind of a Chick-fil-A fan. I am so impressed with Chick-fil-A's customer service. That's what really... Can I tell you a secret? Their chicken sandwiches are they're good. They're okay. But I like other people's chicken sandwiches too. But every time I walk into Chick-fil-A, I'm greeted with a smile. And somebody says, how can I help you today? How can I assist you today? And they go the extra mile. It's that thing that makes the difference. And the church should have the best... Now, I'm going to say this in business terms. The church, Jesus Christ, should have the best customer service in the world. We should be into each other's lives. We should be so tuned in to the needs and to the things in each other's lives. Excuse me. Oh, I coughed right into the microphone. Merry Christmas. We should be into that so much that we just discern when people have needs and have needs in their life that we can meet and we can pray for and we can be involved with. Let's determine to be a better servant this year than we were last year. Let's determine to be a better follower of Jesus Christ than we were last year. My wife and I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. We want you to be blessed. We want you to come back at 5 o'clock tonight. But we want you to have a great Christmas, a great holiday season, and may Jesus Christ show Himself to you in a greater way in this coming year.